Ox. Office. Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Box Office Refund Podcast. I'm Nico Bell.
And I'm Ward.
And we review low-rated movies.
And decide if the critics were wrong.
Ward, how are you doing tonight?
I'm awesome, man. The Wachowskis, they just keep coming out with the hits. I can't believe it. We watched Jupiter Ascending. I heard it was bad. What a false call that was.
Oh my, I really hope you're being a little bit sarcastic on that one. We'll find out.
You don't think it's the premier sci-fi movie that is a game changer, much like The Matrix?
You know, I had a hard time with this one because it had some really good qualities. Like, it had potential to be really interesting. They spent so much money on special effects and story building and just the look of the movie. And then it's like they forgot to hire a writer. So they just sort of put this like dribble of conversation in between these really interesting action sequences. So I was like torn with this one. I watched the whole thing. I didn't like pause and skip and everything. Like I watched it, which is rare for me, as we all know. I did not enjoy it, but I saw potential in it.
Well, I think that, I mean, there's a lot of potential here, but it almost feels like one of them woke up and said, you know, we could die any day now. I think we need to put every idea we've ever had into one movie just in case we don't make it. Because there are four movies in this one movie, and the problem with cramming so much into one movie is that you don't do justice to anything. Like, they're just complete details that they kind of introduce and they move on because they just don't have any time. We have to go to this next part. There's too much in here. And nothing's developed at all.
I guess you can say that. I never thought
I definitely, I just said it.
Well, I thought it has too much in it. I definitely think there's like half plots. Like they would bring up all these different things and I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Maybe we'll go with that. And then it would just disappear. So it's like they just got lazy and tired and they just spent all of their money on effects and one really interesting scene at the end when everything kind of like goes to hell. And like that was it. They were like good enough. And probably a lot of money on, like, Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis, because I imagine neither one of them get out of bed for less than, like, a bucket of millions. So, I mean, you can
tell. Well, I'm sure his makeup alone probably took weeks at a time.
Probably.
But, you know, this movie introduces this love arc, and the foundation for that is 2 seconds. Like, it's like, wait, there's a love arc here? Where? There's no foundation here. And it's the, I don't want to say it's the worst love arc I've ever seen. But it has to be in the running.
I would say it's very close because they meet and then she is totally into him. She is throwing herself at Channing Tatum for the rest of the movie in quite a desperate fashion that has no grounding in anything other than he saved her life once. And I think they tried to make him cute. Can I just say one thing real quick? He is half lycan, so he's like half werewolf. I thought his ears were elf ears for half the movie. It didn't occur to me until well into the movie that, oh yeah, those are supposed to be wolf ears. I think that was a makeup fail.
I mean, this love arc, there's no foundation. All of a sudden she says, I'm always attracted to the wrong men. I'm like, who is she talking about? Wait, she's talking about Dog Boy? Didn't see that coming because there's no way to see it coming. And at this point he says, well, as you know, I'm more dog than man. How? He's 98% man.
He is.
1% dog, 1% special effects, whatever. Like, how is he more dog than man? That is never proven. It's like if I hopped, like, hey, I'm part kangaroo. I hopped. Did you not see it? I'm a kangaroo. That's the logic this movie's working with, and it is frustrating.
What they even tried to do with Channing Tatum's character was just frustrating in general. Not only his ears were bad, but the look of him as a character was very confusing. I think they tried to make him blonde. And tried to make, like, dye his hair blonde so that he had more of a peaceful, angelic look. Like, I feel like that's what they do in movies. The blonde people are typically, like, more the nicer, and then the dark-haired people are more the villains. But it didn't work for him.
Well, you need to be careful how you talk about that.
Well, okay. But it didn't really work. It never worked that he was, like, this good guy. And I never understood his backstory and what he was so angry about, and I never understood, like, the rivalry he had with Stinger, who was supposed to be his friend, but then betrayed him. I really did not care enough to invest in what was going on with that at all. I could not tell you at all what his story is, why he was angry, and why they betrayed each other. No clue.
Can you explain to me how, I mean, if Dog Boy, I don't remember his name, if he's more dog than man, is Stinger Apini more bee than man? And if so, how?
What?
I mean,
what?
I will say, I love this about the character. Like, his hair, like, the sides and back are black and yellow striped, really subtle. I thought that was, like, kind of cool. It makes no sense whatsoever. But every now and then, like, his eyes, you kind of see this glint of yellow. Like, I mean, bees don't really have eyes, so I don't really know what that signifies.
Wait, are you talking about cool. Stinger?
Yeah, he was my favorite character.
I just realized that his name is Stinger, and he's the bee guy.
Yeah.
Get it? Oh, wow. We're just unearthing all this stuff right here, live.
I did think the greatest revelation this movie presented to me was that bees are genetically engineered to recognize royalty. And I've never seen a movie where bees blow the movie wide open, but it happens here.
Yeah, that was a really interesting little twist there. They go to that house that is just like a haven for bees. So is he part bee? Is that why?
Oh, yeah, he has to be. He's a splice, so he has to be more bee than man, according to this movie.
That's so weird. I don't know what the benefit of that is.
The bigger question, we have a man that's part bee, we have a man that's part dog, and they both had wings at one point.
Yes, they both had wings. Yes, you're absolutely right. I don't understand it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why they got them cut off. I don't know how it changed.
Oh, they got them cut off because they were discharged from the military.
They were, okay, so they're military people. Again, I don't know. It was weird. You're right, they did. They both had wings.
Do we want to give this an overview? And we've delved deep very quickly.
Well, Mila Kunis, is her character's name is Jupiter Jones, and she, what's a good way to, like, even say? She is she's a maid in Chicago.
House cleaner.
And she finds out that she is royalty, like a universal royalty.
Intergalactic princess. And okay. At first I kind of took issue with, what it is, she is a reoccurrence, which is a technical term that when someone's DNA is replicated verbatim over thousands of millennia, that is like, in essence, it's royal. Like, at first I thought it's dumb, but in essence, it's royal bloodline.
Well, she's reincarnated. She's a reincarnated genetic twin of their mother.
Well, but it's not really reincarnation because she's not the same person. It's just a genetic duplicate.
So she, not like her spirit and soul are clearly different. She says it over and over again, I am not your mother, I am not your mother. But genetically,
they share the exact same DNA. So it's like a one in a gazillion chances. And then my biggest question here is, well, obviously, these people know that happens because the original DNA holder left it in the will to, I want all my worldly and intergalactic possessions to go to this woman. So if they know this happens, and it's obviously happened before, why do they not have a better system to resolve this nonsense?
Well, I don't even really understand the big reason everybody wants Earth, because they say at the very beginning, like, Earth is like this big coveted planet. It's like the most beautiful of all planets. And frankly, I don't buy that. We're talking like in the universe, Earth is the most coveted planet. And the mother gave Earth to, I believe, Titus, who is the evil? Well, I guess they're all evil siblings. There's like three siblings who rule the universe. They're the Abrasek family.
Abraxas.
Abraxix. I have a hard time saying that. And Titus is the one who actually has Earth. And everybody wants to kill Mila Kunis because she is their mother genetically. And if they kill her, then I guess they get Earth. And by getting Earth, they get the people on Earth, which means they can harvest the people in some magical way to make them into water, basically, that
Regen
is like the
juice.
Fountain of youth. Is that...
Yeah, that's... there's just so many plot points in this movie. You need a flowchart to keep up with them all. Because, I think at one point they do say that there's hundreds of planets.
Yeah.
And they only have them to harvest the humans. Because this is cool. The movie doesn't do enough with this, but everybody in this movie, 90% of people in this movie are all humans. Like, even these people on all these planets are all humans, which I thought was cool, because I always think, we're humans, everybody else are extraterrestrials. But in this, everybody other than, like, the lizard people, which I don't even know what that's about, are humans, which I thought was cool. The movie doesn't do anything with it. Who cares? But
I never even thought about that, but you're right. They were. The people running the
Mila Kunis,
are humans.
In essence, she inherits everything, so she's a genetic clone. But there's lots of planets. The regen juice, here's the thing. I have to assume that the Abraxas kids are just one of the... I don't know if they're royalty, but, let's just call them royalty. They're one of the royal families. Like, there have to be others, right? Or are they the only people?
No, I would imagine that there's a lot of people and a lot of royal families. I never really understood how it all worked out. I don't think they explained the royalness and
Milipu's
roles very well and how it all happened. I just know that everybody wanted to kill her and get Earth so they can make magic juice to make people younger. Because the only quantity, they said, the only thing that matters is time. That's what they said. The only thing that matters is time.
One correction. Tidus Abraxas just wants to marry her so he can steal her title.
And kill her.
He does want to kill her.
Wait, he wants to steal the title.
Yeah, he definitely wants her title. So I don't know how that works.
Oh.
But I don't know. Eddie Redmayne's character. I just called him Eddie Redmayne Abraxas.
Okay.
But we have to make a note of his performance because it's a work of art. I don't know how to describe it. I'm going to back up here. This is how I think production went for this movie. You know, the studio, they read the script. They said, hey, Wachowskis, you guys are great. We love you. We have some questions about this movie. And Wachowskis said, dude, we made The Matrix. We don't take questions. Yeah, but you made the third Matrix, and that's really bad. Yeah, we learned from that. We've got it. We have this. We made Cloud Atlas. Obviously, we are at the peak of our game. Don't worry. So then they gave the script to Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis, and they both said, hey, Wachowskis, we have some big questions. And I believe I read this somewhere. Someone asked Channing Tatum after the movie was done, hey, what's the movie about? And he said, and I quote, I still haven't figured it out. And so I think at that point, Channing and Mila asked Wachowskis, hey, what is this movie about? And the Wachowskis said, we made The Matrix. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Mila and Channing were hoping this would be another Matrix. I was hoping this would be another Matrix. Everybody was wildly disappointed.
Yes.
Back to Eddie Redmayne.
Yes.
So please. I believe he saw the last 20 minutes of The Professional and he saw Gary Oldman. He's like, ooh, I want to play this part like that. Because Eddie Redmayne, throughout this movie, he just, you know, he talks very regally, but like, so I'm going to the store, and I was going to buy some peanuts, and then I saw my friend!
Yes, that's very accurate.
And he was shopping at the store, too.
Yes.
And then we talked for a long time!
Yes.
It's such a weird performance, and at one point, towards the end, there's a close-up, and he is sweating profusely, so I have to imagine, much like The Professional, he was under the influence of drugs, and that was just a plot point that, amazingly, they did not make time for to delve into. But it's just such an amazing performance because I cannot figure it out. I think what Eddie Redmayne did was whenever I questioned him, he said, look, I played Stephen Hawking. I've got this.
See, I also had questions about his performance because in my mind, I was thinking, who chose that voice for him? Because it sounds like somebody is choking him to death, but hasn't quite gotten to the full grip. So he has that very hoarse voice. And it's exactly what you said. It's either that hoarse voice or he is screaming his lungs out. And then he goes back to the hoarse voice. And I'm like, was that his decision? Did he go into the audition and he was like, I got this, guys. I know exactly how I'm going to play this. Everybody was like, brilliant, you've got it. Or did someone pull him aside at a point and raspier?
No. I'm pretty sure. I think for his audition, he probably just brought in a VCR. Yes, a VCR with the Stephen Hawking tape and just stared at it until everybody didn't know what to say. Eddie Redmayne wasn't talking and said, I guess you're hired. We need to get you out of here somehow. We have other auditions. I think that's what happened.
You're putting a lot of stock into his Stephen Hawking. Did you
watch
that
Eddie
movie?
Redmayne is putting a lot of stock into Stephen Hawking. Not me. Okay. I mean, I saw the movie. It's a fine job.
It is a
but
fine
I wouldn't
job.
Really call it acting. It's very physically demanding. Sure, he did a great job with that. But it's like acting askance.
Well, this performance was just weird. And I didn't even understand why he was so angry. I didn't understand why he was after Mila in the first place. I didn't understand why in the end he had to kill her if he hated her. They all have so much problems with the mother, but the mother is dead. And
The mother was murdered.
The mother was murdered by Tidus, by Eddie.
What? Is Tidus Eddie? I thought Tidus was Douglas Booth.
Oh, I might have gotten the mistake. I might have gotten mixed up.
I don't know Eddie Redmayne's name. I'm pretty sure Douglas Booth is Tidus. He was the younger one that seems like the playboy of the bunch.
He was kind of cute, I'm not going to lie. He's a cutie patootie, I'm not going to lie. He was doing his job well. Okay, let me see here. We have Eddie Redmayne. I think I'm wrong, actually. You're right. He played, Eddie played Balaam.
Holy cow, did they ever mention that name in the entire movie?
I don't know, actually. That's a Great question. So I'm sorry about that. So Titus was the other one. He's the cutie guy. And then we have Stephen Hawking as Balaam. That's right. And then they have a sister who has absolutely no role in this movie whatsoever, except to walk into her pool of youth regeneration water and walk back out. So we get to see her butt. But that is literally the only thing she does in the entire movie. She has no purpose. We could just cut that all out and get rid of like 20 minutes of this movie.
Well, I found her character weird because when we're first introduced to her, she's very old. I'm thinking, this is very weird to pick a young, attractive actress and put old makeup on her and not do a very good job of it. What's the point? And then later, she drops her clothes around Mila Kunis because everybody does Everyone that around does that. Her. Yeah. All the females do. It's strange. It's probably not her preference. And it's like, oh, we put her in old makeup just so we could make her young again. And that's her only purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. She has no role in this movie whatsoever. So I don't know what that is. Maybe if they were planning a second movie, she was going to do something. I don't know. Hopefully there will never be a second movie. Nobody liked this movie. Can we talk about her, Jupiter's dad for a second? So her dad is a Russian. I don't think he was Russian, but he was in Russia. Her mom was Russian. And they met while he was looking up the stars through this golden telescope. And they end up getting married and pregnant. And the robbers come in and they are like taking everything from their apartment. And they take the telescope, and the dad grabs that telescope. It's like, don't take it, don't take it. And he gets shot, and he dies. So her dad dies while protecting a telescope. And I just really did not like that at all. I was like, that is the dark moment that we are going to base her whole life on, is her dad dying to protect a telescope. I didn't like it.
Yeah, well, they do that just to give this telescope false importance.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the issue I had with that sequence, I mean, I thought they were military or police, like there's some kind of corruption, you know, like the world is corrupt and we need better leaders, which would, I mean, if I give them that credit, that ties into Mila Kunis being a better leader, even though at the end she's not a leader. I'm not going to get into it right now.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, the dad gets shot in the gut. From movies I've seen, you generally don't die that fast when you're shot in the gut.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've been shot in the lung or something, or like upper torso, sure, I could see that. But he was shot in the stomach. He should stick around a little while.
And then the next thing is like them on like a shipping crate in shipping containers. And she's born in the ocean. And you have that talk over, that voiceover of her being born in the ocean and Jupiter ascending and something about the stars aligning or something like that. And we're supposed to believe that that's what makes her mystical and powerful.
No, it's her magic DNA.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
that's her
here's the thing
DNA.
With that shipping container. I don't know. I generally assume you can't, like, traveling in a shipping container on a freighter is not, like, a viable means of transportation. Like, you can't just buy a ticket for that. Like, you're stowaway.
Yeah.
But it's weird to me in that the shipping container doors are open and they have fires and they're hanging out. I feel like if you're stowaway, you try not to draw attention to yourself. I don't know. I've never stowed away. Maybe I've got that wrong.
Yeah, I mean, who are we to judge? We've never been in that situation, so I don't know. What's weird is that this universe setup, like you said, we don't really know how royal these people are or what their role are, because we have humans and they're kind of in charge. We have these weird lizard creatures that I believe have wings on them. I don't know what they were, like dinosaur creatures. And then we have Martians, like actual what they would call Martians. And the Martians like go to Earth and test.
Wait, they're Martians?
Yeah, those were actually.
Did they call them Martians?
They called them Martians. Those little alien dudes.
In my version, they just called them Keepers, which is just an ambiguous term.
Those little guys that came and took the DNA?
Like the general alien-looking guys. Short dudes.
I thought I heard them call them Martians because I was really interested by that on how the Martians ended up working with the humans and the lizard people. Like, that would be an interesting thing.
And that could be. I'll admit that at one point, I blinked my eyes and then I opened them and I was not sure where I was anymore. Like, this movie, you blink and you just miss whole swaths of story because this thing, there's just so much happening so quickly.
That's true.
To take notes, you have to pause it because if most movies you can take notes and leave it running. This movie, if you look down and take notes, you're going to miss a quarter of the story.
That's true. It's like 1 minute she is like helping her friend get dressed, and then the next minute the friend is hovering in the air and aliens are like testing her DNA, and then the next minute the whole thing has been erased from their memories and they're moving on with their lives.
Day in the life.
Day in the life. So Mila is scrubbing toilets. That's her life. She's getting up at 4:45 every morning.
I mean, she doesn't really care about the job, but her makeup's impeccable. And
oh my gosh,
feel like,
yes,
you know, she could find a job modeling. She could find a job doing any number of things. Honestly, she probably could find a sugar daddy. I mean, I feel like she has more options than just scrubbing toilets. And I get that, like, that whole thing is to tie into, oh, she's really a princess, which makes the ending all the more problematic to
me.
That's
so weird. The ending was so weird. But you're right. She always had a smoky eye. I actually wrote that down because it was distracting. She was scrubbing toilets with a smoky eye, which everybody knows is like an evening wear eye. It's just really weird. Yes.
I did not know that. So
okay,
not
well,
everybody.
Now you know.
Almost
it's
everybody.
An evening wear makeup situation.
And yeah, one thing I don't like is it just seems to like tie into this narrative, oh, she's an illegal immigrant. Obviously, illegal immigrants can only scrub toilets.
Yeah,
like, it just
so
seems
stupid,
like kind of some stereotype that feels a bit cheap.
I agree with that. Yeah. And then I feel like they set her up at the beginning to be materialistic, or maybe they were going down that path and then decided not to. I really don't know what her character was supposed to be before Channing got into the story. But she really, I guess, spent a lot of her money on fancy things because she, I'm guessing that a part of her wanted a really nice life and to be like all the people that she was cleaning the houses for, because she would like kind of pick up their jewelry and pick up their dresses and stuff like that. So her,
well, that's par for the course for your house cleaner. I mean, you can pick up their things and try.
Oh, okay, all right,
that's perk of the job.
Oh, okay, well then perfect, she was doing it. So I think they were trying to make her materialistic, which didn't really work for me. I didn't really love that. And then she and,
well,
I guess...
kind of, I just want to jump in.
Yeah.
Like, you said materialistic, then you just said she wanted better things. I don't think those are equal.
No.
I wouldn't say she's materialistic, but I do think she just wished she had a better life or could afford better things.
I think, I don't know if they decided which path to take, if they wanted her to want better things or they thought she was materialistic. Because when she's sitting at her meal and I guess like her uncle or someone is saying that she spends all of her money on stuff she doesn't need, that would imply that she's, like, just vain. Like, that's the vibe I was getting.
But with that uncle, I assume he probably means, you know, food and, you know, new shoes that are raggedy. The uncle doesn't seem very nice. I mean,
no,
he seems to control the money, so if he doesn't want her buying anything, he controls the money. I don't know. That just, it seemed like it was just a kind of dissonance in plot that, yeah, like, we want to do some of these things. We don't really know how to do it cleanly. We don't really care either, because we're the cows, because we can do whatever we want, suckers. But
family.
I want to... Are we to the point of this money-making scheme?
Yeah, that's where I was going. Yeah,
weird
aspects. Weird. Yes.
So, her cousin is setting up... I don't know. I mean, I could have looked this up, but this movie just makes you not care about anything. If a woman donates eggs, it's not like... That's not a permanent, like, you no longer have eggs. Or is it? I don't know.
No, it's not. It's...
Well, I mean, generally, a woman produces one egg, so they kept referring to multiple eggs, and there's only one visit. Like, I wasn't sure. This movie didn't care. This movie doesn't work out, so I don't know what's going on here. But I will say, she's going through the cousin, and the cousin's going to get $10,000 for doing nothing, and she's going to get $5,000. And I don't understand why she didn't say, well, I could just go there myself and get $15,000. Like, it makes no sense, because she's doing all the work here. And all that money is for a telescope.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
And I get why it's
a
telescope, but largely it is, I don't want to say it's the dumbest thing in the movie because there's so many things vying for that title, but it's not good.
No, it's not good at all. I totally agree with that whole sequence of events. But yeah, I think the only reason the cousin was getting money was because he made the appointment for the fertility clinic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I assume he had the idea and made the appointment.
And that's
and
worth
being a
$10,000.
He's like, yep, that's all me. I did all the work.
That's worth $10,000. Right. But when she goes, she finds out that the people there are not actually doctors. They are keepers, we'll call them, or Martians, or whoever. And she ends up floating in the air, and Channing Tatum comes in. I have to say that out of everything in this movie, as far as like fantasy wise, I feel like they really got lazy with Channing Tatum's mode of transportation, because it looks like he is rollerblading on air and he has like hover boots to do it. And I was just like, really? Really? Like with everything, like with all these really cool Jupiter scenes and like everything with all these aliens. All they could think of was, like, a hover boot that literally he moves like he's rollerblading. Like,
Well, I mean, the boots kind of... Well, the boots should speak to the tone of the movie. And they just... The boots, to me, are in something that's a lot more kid-friendlier. You know, like, something a little more fantastic, a little more, like, kid-like. Because, like, he roller skates through 90% of the movie.
Yes.
And that's fine. But this movie also is trying to do this darker story of, you know, your station in life and fate and all these different things. And the boots just never felt as dark as this movie wanted to be.
Because
every time
though.
he's roller skating,
yeah,
and I can't get over that.
Around. Yeah, he really is. But that's a good point. It's PG-13. I'm sure like some younger kids went to see it, so that's a good point. It was probably more for the kids side of things. Okay.
Yeah, but the rest of the movie doesn't fit that though.
No, it
so
doesn't.
That's
fit
another
that.
Mark against it.
It doesn't. But I'll at least go with that because every time he ran off in his air rollerblades, I just had to laugh. It was ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh wait, before she went, I think this is before she went to the clinic. Dog Boy steals some records from the clinic because she used a fake name, and I don't know how they got the name. I know the clinic did a DNA whatever test,
yes.
But I wasn't sure like how do they get that information. I mean, were they, like how would you? It's not like they know to look at that clinic. They didn't even know she existed until she did that DNA test. But are they in the weeds on planet Earth and just scanning every single DNA test? How did that information get? It's a small point, but still, like. There should just be something about that. But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was
you're
going to
explain that. Explain it.
No, I was...
I want an explanation.
I don't have
like,
an explanation.
Oh, you didn't know DNA tests were just send them out in outer space? Yeah. You know, just as a precaution? There's some bounty hunters. And again, this is another plot point that we really don't have enough time with. But one of them, I would love to know what animal he's crossed with because he has feathers for a mohawk and feathers for a goatee. And it looks really cool, even if it makes no sense whatsoever.
It's true. They had fun. They had fun with these characters. You know what perhaps was the best scene in the whole entire movie? Was the...
Is it something with the mouse man?
No, it's the DMV scene. The scene that lasted a good, like, 30 minutes of them just doing paperwork in order to get her, what, like, legal in the universe?
Yeah.
To accept her title as queen. That might have been... the stupidest sequence of event I've seen in a movie in quite some time. Her just walking from desk to desk. Like, I get it. It was a joke. But it just went on and on and on.
I think you said about a lot of this movie that, yeah, I get what they're trying to do here. But my gosh, they're doing a terrible job of making that point. And here's the thing. Like, I don't know who these people were helping her to get legal. Why couldn't they stick around a little bit longer just to explain to her how it works? Like, how it works as a queen. How she's related to these crazy Abraxas kids. They're like, oh, you're legal. Now we're going to ditch you. She needed more help. Like, she has no capacity to survive in this world because she lacks the basic knowledge of how this galaxy functions. I just don't get why there are people there, and then they left.
Well, she learned awfully quick, right? Because when she goes and talks to Titus, he's the evil one, I mean, she is, like, on point. She knows what's going on. Like, she recites some code and section or whatever. So, clearly, she knows what she's doing.
Oh, you know
doing.
What? That's the dumbest scene in the movie.
Yeah.
I think that's my dumbest scene. But, this movie, it just, again, I get what they're going for. It's ridiculous. I cannot believe these people made The Matrix. It is mind-boggling.
Oh, boy. I know.
And, you know, like, even just a few years prior to this, they made Cloud Atlas. And I know... Cloud Atlas was kind of split. I really like Cloud Atlas. And this just seems like, I don't know, maybe they just had like an old notebook and they just I really want to throw this notebook away, but I don't want to lose these ideas. Let's just throw it in a movie. These dummies will buy it.
And here we are.
I don't know, like at this point, there are three plot lines in this movie and I don't know what's happening in any of them. None of them make sense.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that totally. And she's still like hot for Channing Tatum. She's still trying to get him to make out with her. He's still resisting it. And they're all still trying to kill her. It's a mess. Oh, you know what? I didn't like that they were actually in Jupiter. I know it's like so silly, but Jupiter is a gaseous planet, and there's literally no way that you can like have anything in it or survive. And the infrastructure of whatever, I don't even know what it was, like a town? I don't think it was a town. The infrastructure of Balaam's lair being in Jupiter would never have exist. It's like has like all these long poles up and down. There's no solid ground in Jupiter. There's no like dome that they had for their air. I thought it was ridiculous.
Well, there is a dome. I mean,
is there?
I took it as Jupiter. That Jupiter is basically like a hidden base or hidden city, and so like this outer layer is this gaseous layer to conceal what's going on, and they're inside it hiding. which I thought was kind of neat. Like, they don't explain a lot of it.
But, like, who's hiding and for what purpose? So the evil guy is in there. Like, for why has he set up his headquarters? Does he live there? Is that his home with all of those lizard people?
That's his summer house. That's his summer house.
A summer house with the lizard people.
Yeah, what are the lizard people?
I don't know. I don't know.
And like the mouse man.
Humans have enslaved the lizard people, because that's what it seems to be, that humans are like the ultimate species in the universe, which I do not believe would be the case.
Yeah, the mouse man. I mean, Channing Tatum claims to be more dog than man, which is ridiculous, and I could refute all day, but the mouse man really is more mouse than man. Is he a splice? Is he another species? And then, yeah, we have random humans that just have like little data chips glued to their faces. Who knows why?
That's right. All of the people had data chips glued to their faces. How did that happen? What year is this supposed to be? Because Chicago looks normal. Whatever's going on in the world, like, Chicago looks like a normal present-day Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago is present-day.
So how that did is the confirmed. Humans... How did the human Abraxic siblings...
Abraxas.
...end up inside Jupiter? How did that happen?
With summer home.
I don't understand it. I don't get it.
I mean, like, really, if he could live anywhere, why live on Earth? No, or not, why live on Jupiter? Why live in the Milky Way galaxy? I mean, the dude's intergalactic. Who knows?
I don't buy it.
The whole movie's just... You know, remember the Goosebumps books and R.L. Stein and how it was always posited that at some point he quit writing them and he just put his name on, like, these garbage stories? Do you think the Wachowskis hired this movie out and just put their name on it?
Some, like, I would say the special effects of Jupiter, when the infrastructure starts to crumble down and we have kind of our final heroic scene and Channing Tatum has to save Mila Kunis. I don't know how he figured out where Mila Kunis was in that final scene when everything in the world is falling down. He somehow manages to get into Jupiter through the hurricanes with nothing but his fancy rollerblades and finds her and saves her in time, which is ridiculous. But, like, when it's falling down, it's visually appealing. I mean, you have to think, like, when he's, like,
are
fighting
you attributing that to the Wachowskis?
I am. I'm saying that I'm tipping my hat to them.
Well, I'm going to refute that because all they said is, hey, CGI dude, we want this gibberish thing to look cool. Make it happen.
But I have a feeling like that's what was in their heads. Like, that's their imagination come to life. So I want to give them that. That world, that Jupiter world
generous.
Is pretty cool.
Oh, just to back up from the Jupiter thing, Channing Tatum is flying to Jupiter. Jupiter's getting married to Eddie Redmayne. And I just was wondering, I wonder if he's going to because at some point you realize he's going to crash land into the chapel, as ridiculous as that is. And I just wondered, is he really going to like jump out and say something like, I object to the wedding? At some point, I kind of expected that would happen. So at this point, it didn't, because as dumb as this movie is, why not have that happen?
And then, of course, before the big final showdown, she has to stop and kiss him just in case she doesn't get the chance again to do it. Because they're just so much in love.
I mean, if you thought love at first sight didn't exist, well, this movie proves that wrong. But yeah, the problem with this, we've jumped ahead. I'm going to jump back to a little bit later than the clinic scene where Dog Boy saved her. They're flying through Chicago. Crap's getting blown up. And like, I have no idea what's going on. And I get it. They're trying to set up this mystery. But the problem is, I don't understand what's going on, and I don't even care. I was hoping, like, it'd be awesome if somebody just dropped a nuke right here. They see all this destruction. America drops a nuke. Let's just end this thing right here. Let's get it done. Like, I just, like, there's just no reason for me to care about any of these people, because either they're making dumb decisions I don't understand, or I don't care.
Yeah, and the ending is not worth the entire movie.
Well, it's like a non-ending. Like, I don't even really understand. Like, it's like they're trying to make a point, but they start, and they don't, like, I don't know what the point is. Like, now she's happy being a maid. Why? How? She's an intergalactic princess. Why not, I don't know, rule the galaxy?
The only thing that I could think of is that somebody made a comment to her that it's not what you do, it's who you are. And I think maybe that was kind of the message of the story. So she was all of a sudden at the end happy to be doing the maid work and getting up at 4:45 because she knew in her heart that she is the ruler of Earth. But I that's a stretch. Like, I'm kind of pulling that out of thin air because I was very disappointed. She could literally be doing anything and she's just sitting around doing nothing. And then even the love story, even that didn't pay off in the end. Like, they're having their date on the top of some skyscraper in Chicago. And I'm just, like, how are they even going to date? Where does he live? What planet does he live on? Ward, where did he come from? Where did Channing Tatum come from? Where was he born? When he goes away from that date, where is he going to go? Is he going to go to some other place in the universe? How are they going to communicate? I don't understand the logistics of their relationship.
I think the bigger question is, where is Stinger right now? Has he found someone to love? Has he found a home?
How are his
bees doing? What about his daughter?
Yes! That daughter was in one scene. She went to the market and never came back. Like, while she was at the market, they had like a big invasion and they stole Jupiter and they went after her. We never saw her again.
A smart producer would say, hey, this character, I'm not going to pay an actor for 2 seconds of screen time when they serve no point whatsoever.
No point. No purpose.
Well, I mean, what this is, you can just tell this movie has too much money. The Wachowskis are given too much leeway. Somebody should have said, look, I know the Wachowskis. I don't care. I'm not giving you all this money. I've read the script. Cut it in half.
Yeah. Or they should have fixed a lot of it. It was just really bad dialogue and a lot of plot and a lot of plot holes. And yeah, it was rough, man. It was rough. I didn't hate it, but I definitely did not enjoy it. So.
Well, when they're flying around in Chicago, blowing everything up, like, and I love this scene because Channing Tatum, he's in some spaceship. Michael Clunas is there. They're flying in. That action scene, all it is cutting back to like a wide view of all the skyscrapers, cutting back to Channing Tatum grimacing, back to skyscrapers, back to grimacing, back and forth. Like, they paid money for this? Or did we run out of CGI budget around this point and we just would repeat the two scenes? And I thought, well, they are destroying Chicago.
Yeah.
Wouldn't somebody notice? And then offhand at the end, they say, oh, yeah, the key was just erase all the memories and fix all the buildings magically. Well, okay, but that there was a 6-hour gap there. And, like, you know, it's kind of like, because I really, when I saw it, I was like, is this going to be a Men in Black thing where they erase memories?
That's what
and
I was
that
too.
It turns out to be that. But Men in Black made it fun and funny, and this just does it off. I don't know. Everything that happens in this movie, I just thought, man, another movie has done this better. The Wachowskis should watch more movies.
You think that's their problem? They should watch more movies.
I think at this point, they just don't care. Someone backed up a dump truck full of money to their house, and they said, whatever, dude, we'll vomit something out. Just give us a couple days.
You know, their other stuff is good, though. It's not like they've plummeted off the cliff. You know, like, I haven't seen Cloud Atlas, but I hear it's good. But, like, they did Sense8, and I love that on Netflix. I thought that was great. So, I mean, I think they've got a lot of good stuff in there. This one just went terribly wrong.
There's just too much stuff. Like, what they should have done is, like, all right, there are 12 things happening in this movie. Which 4 do we really care about that we really want to nail down? That's what should have happened. And I think they probably could have done something, I know, better than what we got. There's just too much stuff here.
Do you want to talk about money? You want to know how much they spent?
Oh, gosh.
So their budget was $176 million.
I was going to guess $180. Sounds about right.
Their gross U.S. was $47-ish million. But for the world grossing, it was $184. So they made a profit in the end.
Not really. That $180, though, that's what the movie costs to make. That doesn't factor in marketing. So,
yeah.
I mean, for a movie to be considered profitable, they need to make double the production budget.
Well, they failed miserably. It got a 5 out of 10 on IMDb and a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. I kind of feel bad for, like, Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum, because you're right. They probably signed on thinking this was going to be, like, the next Matrix, and it was bad. Although, I have to say, I've never been a huge Channing Tatum fan. I honestly do not understand the appeal. I don't understand the Magic Mike appeal of him. Like, acting-wise, I just don't get it. I don't get it, ladies. I don't get it. I don't understand. I love Mila Kunis, though. I think she's awesome.
Fun fact, guess who passed on this movie?
Who?
Natalie Portman.
Oh, and then her best friend ends up getting it, because they're, like, best buddies. Oh, yep. Yeah.
I bet Natalie Portman makes fun of her all the time for this.
Probably so. She's like, yeah, probably so. But I bet they both got a payday. I bet Mila and Channing got a nice little paycheck for doing this movie. So.
Oh, yeah.
Can't blame them for that. They just want to work and make their millions. So, don't we all? Don't we all?
Amen to that.
Is there anything else you want to talk about for this?
I mean, in my notes, we've only been halfway through the movie.
Really? Because I think we've really touched on everything.
We've jumped around a lot. I mean, I'm looking through these notes. I'm glancing. There's really nothing that I feel, man, I really need to add this point. There's not. There's just a lot of confusion, a lot of what's happening here. One important note, the regen juice, they have it in, like, canisters. 100 people died to make that regen juice.
Yes.
And I thought Mila should have felt a little bit worse when she dropped one of the canisters.
Yeah.
I mean, you just, like, yeah, those 100 people are already dead, but now they're dead for no reason.
You should be licking that thing up, trying to get some juice out of it, you know?
Yeah, Eddie Redmayne should be, like, scooping it up, slathering it on himself.
I know, lathering it down. I do like her outfits. I like the costumes in this movie. I'll give them that. She looked gorgeous. She had, like, these beautiful dresses on, and everybody looked really regal, and, you know, Titus and Balaam and everyone looked very, like, sinister and gloomy. I like that.
Yeah, and pretty much the points I have left to make are a repetition of what I already said, or should I say a reoccurrence of what I already said. So, yeah, I think I'm good. I mean, this movie, great. You should watch it.
I will say I am so excited to talk to you about the next movie we review, which is Between Worlds with Nicolas Cage, which I got 7 minutes into. I paused it. I was so giddy with excitement. I got my computer and I emailed you and I was like, we're doing this movie. 7 minutes in. So excited. So you guys have to come back and listen to that one.
Yeah, I love Cage crazy stuff. And he always picks strange roles. He kind of has like a certain type of character he gravitates to. I believe he's a truck driver in this, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage, Between Worlds, truck driver? Sure.
I watched it. It's going to be great. Okay, so we'll wrap this up. If anybody wants to find you, Ward, and watch the videos of you go-guarding around, where can they find you?
You can find me with Ward Works on all kinds of social media. Just Google it. You'll find something or something close enough.
Perfect. You can find us at Box Office Refund on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find me at Nico Bell Fiction on Twitter and Instagram. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Box Office Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.